Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Oliver Friesen, CEO of Guardian Metal Resources. Welcome back, Oliver. How's life?
Yeah, things are going well, gents. How are you guys doing?
Well, good here. Thanks. Obviously, had quite a busy time at Resourcing tomorrow. A bit more of a buzz around that conference. Obviously, I don't think we didn't manage to catch up, but did you get any feedback on that from anybody?
I think people are optimistic going into 2025. Cautiously optimistic, I would say. You know, we're seeing a few kind of green shoots, I guess you could call them. I think the biggest takeaway, and I am definitely biased, but everyone is looking to the U.S., everyone is looking at this new administration and saying this is what the U.S. mining industry needed. And people are now scrambling to get access to U.S. assets, development and exploration of specifically critical metals, because there's been a lot of rhetoric and discussions already about how permitting timelines and red tape is going to be torn down, and the need for domestic production of critical metals. And defense metals has been named specifically. So I think even I saw 2 days ago, a tweet about how there's a huge infrastructure financing package that he's going to claw back and actually reallocate those funds to national defense supply chain efforts. So we're super, I mean, politics aside, I'm not going to comment on, do I like the guy or do I not? That's not what I'm here to do. I just look at things objectively and say, hey, there's a huge resurgence coming here in U.S. mining. And it's not the companies that are scrambling now to pick up, you know, the scraps. It's the companies who picked up assets 2, 3, 4 years ago and align themselves for this need to reshore and onshore critical metals. So we're thrilled, and we think 2025 could be very transformational for Guardian.
Very good. That brings us nicely on to, obviously, the update we saw where the company provided a due diligence update on the binding LOI with Hinkanite Resources for the acquisition of the Ten Paiute tungsten mine and mill located near Las Vegas. Legal reviews confirm no liabilities, while geological studies highlight a robust tungsten-rich skarn system with underexplored brachiopipes and porphyry zones offering significant exploration potential. Assay results from 14 rock and one tailing sample returned up to 1.5% tungsten trioxide, 66 grams per tonne of silver, and anomalous zinc, molybdenum, and copper values aligning with historical data. Environmental assessments, the final work stream, are due January 2025, with definitive agreement signing anticipated. You emphasise Ten Paiute's strategic role in reshoring US tungsten supplies, complementing Guardian's flagship Pilot Mountain project as the company scales operations in mining-friendly Nevada. So, sounds like things are progressing well with the acquisition thus far, Oliver.
Yeah, we're not wasting any time. You know, we believe this project and this acquisition can be transformational for Guardian. You know, if you look at the timing of when we signed this deal, you look at how we've structured this deal, I think this gives our investors and stakeholders huge leverage to what is potentially to come here. So we're not wasting time here. We're all due diligence work streams are started pretty much on sign, if not before. And, you know, the update today covers off that most of them have been sort of signed off now, and just there's one final piece, which just normally takes more time anyways. But we know this asset is potentially transformational, so we're not going to waste time. We want to get this deal done as quickly as we can and then move forward with the two fantastic tungsten assets in the U.S.
Very good. So with the title opinion confirming, was it that no maintenance deficiencies or liabilities, how does this sort of strengthen Guardian Metal's confidence in the Ten Paiute acquisition itself?
Yeah, so the title opinion is an important work stream because in the U.S., the mining law is very antiquated there. So as properties change hands over the years, you can find these little deficiencies or, oh, this company didn't properly do this. So there's an old royalty that no one knew about. So really what happens is you bring in lawyers to do a full review of everything associated with that property. Now, we didn't anticipate any issues. And the reason for that was this property was bought by Hinkanite in an estate sale, effectively. So when company or an individual doesn't pay their taxes, because it's, remember, this is private ground. When I say patented, it's private ground. Current owner has not only the surface rights, but also the mineral rights. Now, that's a really important caveat because this ground is very hard to get your hands on in the U.S. because effectively they abolished patent and mining claims in the, I think it was the 60s. So unless you had them granted before that, no one has been able to receive patent and mining claims since. So in the way that Hink and Tet was able to get their hands on it, effectively, it was a clean sweep, a clean deed, and then that gets transferred over to him or to that group. So that was confirmed. There's no historical legacy issues. It was sort of a clean slate transferred over to the current owner. And that just gives us the confidence that, hey, there's clean title here. There's no kind of historical skeletons in the closet, so to say. So that's a big kind of part of the deed. That's a big green check for us.
Yeah. And what specific aspects of the environmental assessment are kind of being reviewed, and how critical are these to finalizing the acquisition itself?
Yeah, I mean, it's a work stream that, you know, any advanced asset you would have done. So they look at the high grade stockpiles that exist, just making sure there's no sort of acid rock drainage issues. They look at the tailings, making sure there's no issues. Now, remember, we're in the desert, so there's not a lot of water that's produced. So a lot of these issues are usually pretty very minimal in this type of environment compared to, you know, if you're in a rainy climate, they can be a bit more challenging. But initial feedback from our environmentalists is that there's nothing that's been identified now. So we need to continue through that process. It will take another probably week or two here, and we'll kind of get that all wrapped up. That's the last final little piece. We don't anticipate any issues, but we obviously need to get that work done before we make a final call. But nothing of concern has been identified so far.
Yeah. And that sort of like historical geological review indicated, I think it was a tungsten rich skarn system and potential porphyry, as I alluded to at the top there. So what exploration strategies have you got planned then to capitalize on this potential?
Yeah, and that's why we like this asset so much. Is similar to Pilot, you have an in-ground. Now, it's a historical resource. I need to be very clear about that. It's historical. We want to get that up to current as quickly as we can. But you have the historical resource in place. You have the infrastructure in place. But also, you have the exploration upside, right? You got to once again remember that this was operated. It was the largest tungsten mine in the U.S. in the 1980s. And so they were focused on mining. That's what they wanted to do. They were making money, cash flow. So a lot of times in this scenario, you know, the exploration upside gets overlooked. What else could there be? When you have a really robust, sizable mineralizing system, it's usually a lot bigger than what you realize. So, you know, the review we did identified porphyry targets that multiple reports had referenced, and no one had gone in to drill those. Also breccia pipes, mineralized breccia pipes, which are really interesting development because those can be very, very richly mineralized bodies, and they can be associated with porphyries as well. So there's a big exploration story here as well to go alongside the development of the resources, historical resources that exist there.
Okay, Oliver, so what is the situation then with Tempoad regarding electricity, water, and the infrastructure? Yeah, from what you've said there, you will actually own the land if this deal goes through as well. So the land itself is your property, is that fair?
Yeah, so it's private ground. So effectively, the whole property is more or less fenced off, and it says no trespassing, which is great. But yeah, so the kind of the other bits and pieces, Kev, I think they're important to talk about. So there's the existing kind of mill infrastructure in place. So there's everyone's, I'm sure, seen the photo. There is some mill equipment inside, but, you know, that was in the 1980s when they were in production. So, you know, we would need to, that's been a question, is we would need to bring in modern equipment. But, you know, concrete slab and even just the shell itself, that's a huge cost savings right there. There's a 3,000 kilowatt substation, and that substation was actually built for the mine and then extended to the town of Rachel, because the mine was in place first and they built the town to sort of accommodate and to support the mine. So that alone, to go and build that substation, many, many, many millions of dollars. And it's in place, it's on site. There's a switch you can go and turn it up, and everything's electrified. So that's only not only cost saving, but a time saver as well. And there's a evaluation report that was done evaluating at all the existing infrastructure on site. I won't quote what the valuation report came out with, but it's something that we will certainly release in the future. And I think just the main takeaway is that there's a lot of value in what's on site right now, that once again, this is probably relating to the market's not really grasping why this is so important, but just having that amount of infrastructure in place that we can utilize going forward saves us time and saves us money. And that's a really important thing to consider and remember.
So the question on my lips, I suppose this is a personal question more than though I think investors were interested. How are you going to workflow both of these things. Okay, so we have Tempa Ute and we have Pilot Mountain and the various different drilling things that you do in a Pilot Mountain. How are you going to work balance this? There's only one Oliver Friesen, and I also understand that your team can expand, but how are you going to do it?
There's only one me, but the team in the US is growing considerably, the technical team. So we're bringing on another kind of two people right now that will play a really important role going forward with the business. But the great thing is, if you look at the map, I mean, these assets are only 2.5 hours away. In geological kind of context, that's pretty much next door. So, we've already been able to send crews from Pilot directly. No, hey, we need you guys on site at Tempa Ute for a day. Can you guys go do that? Easy. They stay in their existing accommodation in Hawthorne. So how we push it all forward, that's what I do. I mean, that's what I did in my previous life, Kev, was I ran a consulting company and we managed I think at the peak we had 10 exploration and drilling campaigns going across Canada. I mean, we had, call it 50 plus people operating drilling, geophysics, geochem. So that's what I mean, this is easy to work two projects at one time that are pretty much next door. This is easy stuff. So it's about putting the right people in place, which we're doing. We have a great team right now. It's about expanding now. And so post completion of this deal, we're going to hit the ground running. We're not going to go, oh, let's figure out what to do now. No. We know what we want to do. We're putting the people in place. We obviously need to finish the due diligence and sign a deal, but we're getting ourselves in a position where we can push these assets forward in tandem because there's so many efficiencies and so many things that we can do with these assets together, and they're very, very complementary. So, and they're actually very similar in terms of geology as well. So we know what we're looking at, and the team we're putting in place will allow us to push these things forward in tandem. And I think that's a super exciting thing for our shareholders and stakeholders.
I'm assuming also that this is going to be, it's not a word, but grantable. So the scenario is how much quicker do you think Guardian Metal Resources is going to be to negotiate or hopefully get something in place with the US? I mean, as you stated at the beginning, the US has got to be mining friendly in these particular situations. So how likely is it that we're going to see Tempa Ute on the same path? We don't know for sure. You're getting the Guardian Metal Resources grant yet, but assuming that things go well on that front, how quickly do you think Tempa Ute could be in the same game?
Yeah, it's a good question, Kev. What I can say about that is we absolutely will be looking at leveraging non-dilutive grants and funding to support Tempa Ute as well. The real kind of threshold for US government interest across the board is it needs to be advanced, right? They're not looking to supply funding for early stage tungsten assets. They want advanced stage where funding can allow you and really helps you push forward that asset to production. So that's the threshold. Tempa Ute absolutely fits that threshold. I mean, the infrastructure on site, the work that's been done there previously. So what we'll do there is absolutely and looking at leveraging the work we've done to obtain funding for Pilot, and then all of those same things, we know the blueprint, do those with Tempa Ute. Now, as you mentioned, we do not currently have any government funding through any government agency. It's obviously been a core part of what we're doing here, and we continue to push that forward as quickly as we can. But we sort of know the blueprint, we know what needs to be done, and absolutely Tempa Ute will do the same things because and that's one of the reasons we acquired it was it's advanced. We know what the development timeline looks like and what that process looks like, and we obviously would look to obtain or leverage any government grant funding we can to push that forward alongside Pilot. And as you mentioned, or as I mentioned previously, just that one tweet alone about a huge, I think it's multi-billion-dollar funding package for electric vehicle charging stations that was not efficient. That money is going to be clawed back and pushed towards, defense supply chain in the US. So that there could be new funding pots available come January 20th, and we're going to hopefully be at the front of line with this asset alongside Pilot.
It's an interesting and evolving situation, obviously, that's going on. But is it possible, almost probable, that Tempa Ute actually could produce tungsten either at the same time or before Pilot Mountain because of the infrastructure that's already in existence?
Yeah, Absolutely. It's advanced, and I think the big kicker here with Tempo.io, and I talked about this, but I don't think the market has really grasped what this means and what the implications are. It's patented ground. It's private ground. That means that literally there's no federal permitting requirements at all. Like the BLM has no jurisdiction over patented claims. There's still state permitting, but effectively the BLM, who's that's the agency, federal agency that we deal with at all of our other projects. And the BLM is great. They're very efficient. They do really good work. It's the reason why we can get drilling permits in a month in the US and in Nevada, it's the best place. So you take I would say BLM Nevada land is probably some of the best in the world for permitting and for efficiency. Patented is it's the piece de resistance. If there's nothing like it that exists in the world I've ever seen. I could show up tomorrow with a drill rig and start drilling holes on this project. Now, obviously, we are responsible miners. We don't want to do anything that's adverse for the environment, but I'm just saying that's what you're allowed to do as the owner of private claims. You can show up with a drill rig and start drilling holes, and no one can tell you otherwise. So just to put into context, like I said, we're not gonna do anything that's adverse for the environment. You know, we want to be responsible stewards of the ground, but just to show you what is capable and what's possible when you have patented claims.
Yeah, I was just looking, Oliver, actually, at some of the old. There is some old information on the mine. You mentioned it was quite an old historic mine. Obviously, I think it first discovered in 1916, and it was known as the Emerson Tungsten Mine. But it talks about the fact that it goes deep up to like 380 meters, and then expressive. There's a length of 75,000 meters. And it also talks about shrinkage methods used to, you know, to mine the technique as back then. But it also mentions that there's, you know, ore bodies stretched for like 2,000 meters in length, 500 meters in width and a thickness. So it does seem like there's a lot of infrastructure there, and also that there's like shafts there, incline and declines as well. So how much will what's been done in the past need to be modeled and changed going forward with the new techniques that you employ?
No, the point you made there is a good one, Phil, which is that yes, this is a large system. You mentioned kind of 2 kilometers and the scale of these mineralized zones. So it's large, and that's why once again, you know, when you see a large system that's been intermittently exploited over kind of a 100-year period, that system is always a lot bigger typically than what is currently known about. So a big part of what we're going to do is look at how deep does this thing go. How wide does this thing go? What is the actual width of this thing? Because as we're seeing with Pilot, you take 1980s drill holes and you go and drill them the right way, and you can come up with some pretty exciting stuff. So modern exploration, the techniques we have now that they didn't have in the, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even when they were exploring this thing and pushing this thing forward, allows us to really open this thing up. And that's what we're looking to do here. So a lot of underground infrastructure exists. I think someone posted a video of some guy who trespassed and was walking through all the old adits and portals. So I mean, that's all stuff that you can rehab and use and utilize and drill from there to get to other zones. So there's a ton of value in that stuff. A ton of value. To go and excavate those drifts now is tens of millions of dollars probably, and we have that in place. Just needs a bit of rehab.
So all in all, Oliver, then it seems like this is going to be a bit of a game changer for Guardian, both from a timeline and also from the point of view. I don't think it's over-egging it to say that potentially this could double your resource in terms of tungsten. And we've got lots of other things that we're coming on to as well. I mean, people have been asking questions in different groups and in different scenarios about the garnets on Pilot Mountain. Where are we with that? Where are we with more drill results coming from the drill program on Pilot Mountain as well? So just give us an overview on that before we finish, and then we'll call it a day.
Yeah, so lots going on. Shareholders will be happy to know that my Christmas break is pretty much going to be non-existent. My fiance doesn't know that yet, but we'll figure it out. So maybe a day or two off, but
You're just enjoying your last single Christmas, I think, Oliver.
Yeah, no, exactly. So no, it's gonna be super busy. There's a lot of work ongoing at Pilot right now, obviously, and a lot of results and things that are anticipated here. So yeah, we're working as hard as we can behind the scenes to get everything prepped. Garnet, that's still ongoing. We expect results from that very early in 2025, and that's gonna be a big part of the PFS for Pilot drilling. as you mentioned, you know, more results to come here. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Golconda, have rocks in the lab for that. And that's something I definitely think investors and watchers should look out for, those results. And then Tempayut, we're going to get this all wrapped up. And as soon as, you know, assuming everything checks out and we get this deal done, which we anticipate we will, we're going to hit the ground running. And this thing is going to, I think, really, really shock people, because we're trying to get this story out now. And the investors are going, okay, that's interesting. Let's, you know, I need to hear a bit more. Well, we're going to continue to talk about it. And I think investors will eventually wake up and go, wait a second, this is big. As you mentioned, Kev, you know, this is a hugely complementary asset to Pilot at a time when the U.S. needs domestic tungsten. I mean, who else is going to do it, right? It's us. So, you know, Perpetua Resources, we've seen what they've done in the antimony space. Antimony and tungsten are the two of the most critical metals on the planet right now. And so we look at them and say, let's follow in their footsteps. And that's exactly what we're doing. And we've seen the reward of that. And you know, I think we'll see the reward here for Guardian in 2025, no doubt about that.
Well, we look forward to having you on as you transition from the due diligence to the operational planning at Tempayut. And yeah, we wish you a Merry Christmas and hope you have a prosperous new year, Oliver Friesen.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, you as well.
Thanks, Oliver. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, you as well, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.